This episode of Earl Grey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek FM at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org.
This is Dwight Schultz. I played Reginald Barclay, otherwise known as Broccoli, on Star Trek Next Generation and Voyager. You're listening to Trek FM.
The Earl Grey Hut.
Welcome to another cup of Earl Grey, Trek FM's dedicated podcast to the next generation. I am your gracious host, Richard Marquez, and today, unfortunately, Amy is not with us. She is on vacation, enjoying the fruits of Europe, and that's great. You know, she's probably going to visit Picard's Vineyard or something like that. So, and Amy is away, but she will be back at a later date. As always, Justin is here with me. How are you today, Justin?
I'm doing well. Don't scare people. Amy will be back next week, not at some unspecified later date.
Oh, well, we could have done like a to be continued. Dun, dun, dun. That's okay. Yes. Not to lose our listeners all of a sudden because Amy's not here.
Well, they listen for everyone. But anyway, great to be here.
Yeah.
Thanks, Richard.
Yeah. Also joined with me is co-host of Warp 5 and The Edge, Patrick Devlin. How are you today, Patrick?
I'm good. It's been a while since I've been on Earl Grey, and the last time I was, it was actually with you two doing a commentary as well, so it should be fun.
It was.
We were due.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that was months ago.
It was months ago. We need to catch up. For today's show, Patrick wanted to talk about Beverly Crusher. So we'll be doing a commentary of the sixth season episode, Suspicions. But before we do, Patrick, why did you choose this episode?
Okay, so the reason why I picked this was I wanted to do something about Beverly Crusher. And the main reason is my daughter is actually named after Beverly Crusher. So my daughter's name is Beverly. And we got the idea, me and my wife, because we couldn't agree on a name at all. And we were playing a Star Trek card game. I dropped down the Beverly Crusher card and said, that's the name our daughter should be. And ironically, my wife agreed.
What was the card game?
It's the Star Trek deck builder.
Nice.
I have all of them. But it was one of the two TNG ones. But I have them mixed together. So I don't know which deck it was out of originally.
You should get it framed.
Well, actually, so we met Beverly Crusher at the Mission New York for the 50th, and Gates McFadden signed the autograph to Beverly, love Beverly Crusher, and then Gates McFadden, which was pretty cool.
Very nice.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's
so Beverly cool. Got to meet Beverly, and they had a great time.
Nice.
Awesome.
Awesome. That's
a
great story.
And, you know, that's an additional way for parents who are expecting children to choose their child's name.
Yeah, throw cards at each other and whatever sticks.
Especially Star Trek cards.
Yes.
So if it's Worf, they should call them Worf?
Hey.
Sure.
You win some, you lose some.
Oh, imagine if you had a child named Wesley, Richard.
Just going to keep throwing cards.
Way to
cards
give me the heebie-jeebies.
Anyway, before Richard leaves. Yeah, so today we'll be doing a commentary of the sixth season episode, Suspicions. For commentaries, you can follow along with the episode, whether you're watching it on Netflix or Blu-ray, DVD, CBS All Access, however you might be watching the episode, you can follow along. But don't worry if you're not following along with the episode. I think as long as you've seen it before, you'll be able to follow along just fine. That's usually what I do. I'm just kind of listening in the car or when I'm doing work or whatever and listen to the commentary. So hopefully you guys will enjoy that. We'll give you a countdown in just a moment here before we start the commentary. All right, listeners, so we're going to get started here in 3, 2, One, play. There is our beautiful Enterprise D. And starts with Beverly. I think there's not many episodes that start with Beverly Crusher. I think The Host is one of them, where she's kissing the Trill O'Dan in the turbolift, but not too many. So makes it clear this is going to be a Beverly episode from the beginning.
Yeah. Why would they have apples on the table?
Why not?
Oh, I didn't even notice that. Why not? They don't have apples in the future? She replicated some, and it looks
they
nice.
They don't put them on tables anymore?
I guess.
I mean, if you go to my dining room, there's apples on my table right now.
Yeah, but we're not in the 24th century.
Yeah, well.
I'm sure they'll have more. So Guinan comes in to see Crusher. This is actually Guinan's last appearance before Generations. For some reason, she wasn't in Season 7 at all. But I always like seeing Guinan drop by.
Yeah, Guinan was a great character. I wish they would have used her more, but they didn't.
Mm-hmm. It had to be whenever she was available. You know, she was pretty busy. I think it's amazing she was on 28 episodes or something like that.
She actually just made it into the, like, Disney Hall of Fame thing, honorary.
Now, listeners, do not skip the intro.
Yeah, if you click skip intro on Netflix, you're going to be offset from where we are. So yeah. We're watching the intro right now, which I always love seeing.
Is this the old or is this the new?
This is the remastered. Yeah, I think I have it set for HD on Netflix. So
there you go.
The planets look really good. The ship looks really great. So
that's not the Enterprise I know. No, I'm kidding.
No, it's not the NX-01 that you talk about all the time.
No, it's
on
not.
Warp 5.
This one's a lot bigger.
Yeah, wow. Amazingly bigger. Like 40 of mine in there. In
ours
the Sorcerer
the
alone. Yeah, mine actually did go to war and stuff, though, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's true, but. Didn't have a big season-long war in the Next Generation, although the Cardassian War was taking place somehow and
during.
We didn't really know about it for a while.
Yeah, just maybe completely ignored.
Maybe they were doing war missions in between episodes. Who knows?
So, Gates McFadden and Beverly Crusher. You know, so I watched this episode ahead of time just to refresh my memory on it, and even though it's not necessary at all in the commentary, but it really annoys me that Troy's not actually in this episode a lot.
Why is that?
Wouldn't it make sense when she's trying to find out who's lying to drag Troy along with her?
Oh, that's a good point.
I mean,
but wouldn't that take that would take away from Beverly?
It would, but it would make sense.
Come on, you love Beverly. You want more Beverly?
I do. But we could have had both.
Wait. Are you trying to make up for Amy right now?
Yes. I must be channeling Amy.
All the way from Germany
to New York.
So we're back to Guinan and Beverly Crusher. Just talking about, I guess at this point, our career's in danger because of whatever she did. And I don't know if it happens too often on TNG that you see what's going on and then there's a flashback that's going to happen to what happened before. But I like when they do
there
that.
Is. I like the way they used it in this episode, though, because the whole episode isn't a flashback.
Mm-hmm. Except, yeah. I think, toward the end, then it goes forward a little bit. But
right,
a lot
it does.
Of it
yeah,
is.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. Like, it's not full. At some point, the story catches back up to what's happening, quote-unquote, now,
yeah.
Which is awesome.
Right. So you can always, like, jump backwards and forward in the story. So, like you're telling a story to someone. Yeah.
Yeah. And how about Guinan's technique here? I mean, having seen the episode before, we know that she comes in and says something about having tennis elbow, and then at the end it's like, I don't play tennis.
Yeah.
That was just an excuse.
Yeah, but if I was Crusher, I'd be like, man, you know how many credits I used to make this stupid racket for you?
Credits?
Well, I was going to say, she has to recharge her regenerator or whatever.
Right, like, she did research to find the best racket for someone with tennis elbow.
Yeah. So, starting to tell the story of what happened with all the metaphasic shielding. I mean, I love this episode, but it does feel a little weird that she read this paper by this Ferengi scientist and she wants to bring these scientists on board to investigate the shielding. It doesn't really have to do with medicine, but I mean, it's cool she's doing it.
I was just about to say the same thing. Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing. What is she doing? I'm not saying she shouldn't be, but like, what is she doing reading about metaphysic shielding when there's probably all those papers about medicine out there right now?
Yeah, it is weird. And even if she did read it out of like a hobby, it shouldn't be her call to bring them, right?
You're thinking, Patrick.
Like, she still has to, she still has to be like, hey, look, I read this paper. It's cool. You should check it out and see if we should bring them here.
Yeah. But then again, if she did say that to Picard, maybe he was like, oh, maybe you should bring them all and do it as a.
I want to point out while she's here, so the Klingon Korok, do you know who plays her? It's Trisha O'Neill, who played Captain Rachel Garrett on yesterday's Enterprise.
Huh. That's interesting.
I don't think I realized that until I looked it up. It's the same person.
No, I don't think I realized it either.
Huh. Yeah, but I think this is cool. You know, there's a Klingon scientist, which when do you ever see that? A Ferengi scientist, you've never seen that before. This other species, T'Karin, which you don't know much about at the beginning. I like that there's all these different species that are together trying to figure this thing out.
Yeah, the only thing I know about the T'Karin is I want to strangle him before I even know how this ends.
When you saw it
so hostile.
He just looks really arrogant.
Maybe that's just a feature of his. Maybe that's a feature of his species. I mean, you could say Tellarites are really argumentative. You want to strangle them just because of that?
Possibly.
Okay. But I mean, like having Rega as the Ferengi scientist is really cool because pretty much up to this point in TNG, Ferengi were just all about profit and deception and all the plans that they had, and he was the first one that was different than that. And I feel like that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And I wonder if there was an influence somewhat, because DS9 had started a little bit before then, and you get some more nuanced Ferengi characters there.
Well, it's the same thing with Klingons, too. I mean, really, this is like, what, one of the very first ones we see that's outside of war class besides Commander.
I'm going to say, like, you know, it's really not, like, before this, Klingon scientist, I don't know if we'd seen something like that.
I don't remember, yeah.
I don't think we did.
But I think we do a little bit after that, maybe in Enterprise, but...
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, but so they're breaking some interesting boundaries and having them together.
Yeah, because like you said, like in Enterprise, we do see that they're not just war class, mm-hmm. and they make like a big deal of that. But it really must. It all stems from this breaking point, mm-hmm. where they start doing things other than just being warrior class Klingons. Yeah. It is cool with the Ferengi because he does make mention of it later. That oh yeah, I know you get it. I get it. They don't trust me because I'm Ferengi. And most Frankies mm-hmm. just want to make money, basically. So,
can you blame him?
No, but even
and his,
still, like,
and his clothing is surprisingly understated for a Ferengi, isn't it?
It really mm-hmm. is.
It's just like, oh, I'm just going to wear some muted colors. Cause,
but even being a scientist, like that, that wouldn't surprise me so much because you can make a lot of money in the universe if you figured this thing out.
Yeah, with your invention, if you're selling it to species that can pay for it, sure. It is a remarkable opportunity. I've studied your data, Dr. Rega. That guy's coloring is interesting, the T'Karin. It's like bluish, greenish, kind of?
Yeah.
Michael Westmore is doing something interesting that week. I mean, did something interesting every week, but it was a new thing that was a little bit different.
I want to know how that relationship works.
Which one? The human and the Vulcan?
Yeah, I want to know how that relationship works.
How does Amanda
works.
And Sarek work? I mean,
right,
they find
ways
well,
to
I
work.
Want to see that one too, but I still want to see it.
Well, I mean, like Amanda and Sarek, for example, they probably explore it more in the novels, but it's just, I don't know.
I mean, is she the dominant one and he's, or is he?
I don't know if you can.
I just go with yes.
Like that, but.
Go with yes. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Well, she's definitely, I mean, I don't know. They show a scene where they're both arguing with Crusher later. We'll get into that when we get there, but it seems like she's just kind of the dominant one in the relationship at that point. And then he jumps in and she doesn't say anything for a while, so it's a little confusing.
Mm. A Ferengi that's grateful. Thank you, Doctor.
Is that a Cardassian pad?
That looked like it.
Oh, I didn't notice that fly by.
Yeah, there was two.
There's
two
Federation
pads, ones.
And then there was a triangular one.
Yeah.
Definitely Cardassian colors.
It could be. They just you know, borrowed one from the DS9 set that week.
Could it have been Ferengi, too?
I mean, but you know, the Ferengi trade a lot. Maybe they liked the Cardassian pad.
Well, wouldn't he take it with him?
I don't know.
They're going back there.
You're asking a question I never thought about before.
Many scientists have tried to develop it. It's only natural that there would be. You would think he'd be able to afford braces as a.
I was just going to say, you would think someone would figure out how to make money being a dentist in the Ferengi.
They just have different dental values, kind of like Klingons do. I mean,
well, they sharpen
yeah,
their teeth.
But they sharpen their teeth, but they're all just like crooked and odd, and
yeah,
they seem
really
to like
weird.
That. You know.
Well, it has to do with the way they were created anyway. Their purpose wasn't originally to be profit mongers, so.
It was to be like the new scary baddie in season one.
Yeah, they were going to be the new Klingons, and then that all fell by the wayside.
Then
real
after
quick.
The last outpost, it was like, no, that's not going to work.
They're tiny people.
Well, I mean, just because they're shorter doesn't mean they. But it's more that they were just kind of just ridiculous and silly in that episode. So, all right, so we're seeing this T'Karin guy who's getting toward this sun to test this metaphasic shielding, which is cool. And actually, we'll get there, but I think when they did the visual effects for this, they were using actual NASA footage for what a star's corona might look like. So I think that's really cool.
Well, that is interesting. I didn't know that.
I'm surprised they don't show something with Worf being uncomfortable with another Klingon on the bridge.
You know what's interesting? I was reading in the TNG Companion by Larry Nemechek about it, and I think originally they wanted to have more of a role for Worf in the episode, but they had a lot of rewrites and it didn't quite work, something like that.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, it's probable that he was very uncomfortable, but where this is being told from Beverly, like directly.
Here's something interesting. It says in the Companion it actually started as a Worf vehicle done in 40s black and white film noir style. Huh. That would have been weird.
Wow.
But anyway, they decided to make it quite different than that. I mean, although there are the flashbacks, which you see in noir, but...
Is that my phone or your phone?
My computer.
Oh...
No, there's a little ding that he's near the corona.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, he's ready.
It's like a microwave. Someone who just walked into a store. Like walked into a hotel. Ding, ding. That's why I'm
today. Sensors indicated increased level of baryon particles in the cabin. So things aren't going right. And... as we know from the later episode, he's just pretending that he's in some distress. But I like the subtitles that are like breathing heavily, gasping.
Right.
I just kind of imagine gasping again. So.
And the video image is all grainy now. Cause
they make it grainy and it's just kind of offset a little bit. And that tells you that there's all this interference. They seem calm. I mean, it looks like the guy's going to die. But they're just like, oh, what's going on?
He's not part of their crew.
No. He's a guest on their vessel.
It happens. See ya.
Maybe they've seen so much death that they're used to it.
Is this your first time watching Next Generation?
I'm talking about just in general, in the 24th century. Maybe there's a lot of deaths and they bring them back to life. I don't know.
Anyway, he eventually pilots the shuttle back. The shuttle is emerging from the there's Worf. Self-induced. Get a lock on him. He really doesn't do much, does he?
Mm-mm. He didn't even say anything, really.
Yeah, I guess not. Seems justified. I had no idea what had gone
wrong, or how seriously Dr. Jobril had self-induced suicide. But I knew this incident could destroy Reg's
chance to be accepted by the scientific community. He looks really disappointed, the Ferengi guy. Oh, that's right. He says labored breathing. Different kind of breathing. Hey, man, he's dying. Don't make fun of that.
Is he really?
Well, later. But yeah,
where's Nurse Marquez?
Nurse Marquez.
I don't see Nurse Marquez. Where is he? Do you see him? No.
No.
Of course he's going to die. He's not there.
Again. Raspy breathing. Oh,
now,
that's
it's not labored anymore.
It's another description.
So magically, things always stick to everyone's foreheads, no matter who they were designed for and being used on.
And I wondered in the makeup, like, how'd they get it to, like, stick on like that? Maybe they had like little underside of crazy glue. Maybe just rip it off.
Crazy glue.
Long gasp, and then
the craggle.
He's gone.
The craggle. Yes.
So, yeah, that didn't go well. And back to Guinan and Beverly talking about what happened. So that was my first experience. Yeah. And she's still packing her
diplomat.
Her little. Cases. It always amazes me how small the luggage cases are in TNG. Like in Captain's Holiday, you see Picard take like this little cylindrical thing. It's like, do you really have everything for your vacation?
You know what they should probably do is like miniaturize and then put it all into your case, like all your clothes. And
maybe
all
you don't
your
need
gear
as much
that.
If you can replicate something at your destination, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it's not the same when you know you have the original whatever and you can just replicate all day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Don't be too hard on yourself.
What are those?
Yeah, she has little masks in the back. I don't know what that is. Oh, now we get to see the Takaran's chest. So they had to do
and now he's green.
Blue and green.
Yeah, but the green is much more green.
Is that what he
than
looks like? He's
face.
Dead?
Because Joe Brill's anatomy is unlike any I'd encountered.
And I've run into so now they're just standing in sick bay, talking.
How's it going?
I've never run into a humanoid species. And of course, Crusher is baffled.
No discrete organs. Now that's kind of an interesting concept. Like, there aren't really separate organs. Things are just equally distributed. It's an interesting idea.
Three hearts.
Yeah, which is a little odd. Stacked on top of each other.
Right? Yeah.
I don't know. Klingons have duplicate stuff inside.
But aren't they on the right side and left side? Massive system-wide failure. I don't know.
But for Klingons?
Yeah.
I don't know if we've really seen all of that, but I think they're... It's been talked about.
Okay, so now there's no apparent cause of death. So it wasn't like radiation poisoning. It wasn't...
What is that implement? That looks odd. This little, like, flashy thing.
It looks like a can opener.
Yeah. Your can opener lights up with LEDs?
I know, right? Mine does it.
So is this actually like a little bit off of sick bay? So they're like doing she does an autopsy there, or they have this? Because I think later they show
morgue.
Yeah, for the first time, but
they because she says take him to the morgue. Mm-hmm. So not him, but what's his name?
Joe Brill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So obviously the morgue and sick bay aren't the same place, which would make sense.
Yeah, I hope it's not part of sick bay. That'd be
well, I bet you in Enterprise it would have been. They wouldn't have thought out to put two different rooms in such a small ship.
That's true. But it seems like they, I don't know, set it aside somewhere where you can't usually see it.
Put them in the freezer over there on the other side of the room.
Yeah, just move all the hamburgers to this side of the freezer and person over there.
Oh, boy.
Cover it with a towel so no one sees.
And it's not replicated on NX-1.
No, they actually had to carry hamburgers.
That's right.
They had to make hamburgers, yeah. So now they're looking at the shuttle. Shuttle Jessamyn, which I think is named after producer Robert Jessamyn.
Mm-hmm.
Must have been fun to be working on a show and be like, I want my name on this shuttle.
Yeah, we'll put it there.
Yeah.
Is that carpet up on the top?
Oh, it's a good question, is it?
Looks it.
It kind of looks like it is. Huh. I wonder if we wouldn't have been able to see that if it wasn't remastered. It looks like carpet texture.
Let's lower the resolution.
I never noticed that. All right, so they're looking at the shuttle. They don't know what's going on.
Now we're standing in the most generic area of the entire ship.
Watch out for barrels.
That's in the barrel cargo bay. With a level high enough to cause damage to
organic tissue. I don't know. Perhaps there was an unexpected interaction between the solar radiation and the metaphase.
It's very
shield.
Indignant that no, anything possible. Could go wrong.
Well, he's definitely acting more Ferengi-ish now. Every contingency.
Then maybe Joe Brill like, yeah, he's got that sneer on his face. Before he was like smiling like, happy science, and now he's like, you offended me. Forgot my laser whip.
You will not start a union.
All right, so now she's talking to the other scientists that are presumably still alive. That in light of what happened, I think it would be inappropriate to continue further testing. Perhaps if Dr. Ray. I always find the terms interesting. Metaphasic. Somebody thought about that. That sounds like a cool shielding technology. Metaphasic. If I could
have a little more time to
investigate. It's not just phasic, it's metaphasic. But that won't bring back
Joe Brill, will it? I do not believe the shield will ever work. It's very common.
So it's interesting. Even at this point, I get the feeling that everyone doesn't believe it won't work. They just all want to develop it themselves. Whom do
you propose we sacrifice? And you think that's what the Vulcan scientist is
thinking?
I think
everyone. Yeah.
Everyone. Yeah. I'm sorry. Well, the division is kind of interesting. So she's a Vulcan scientist. Is she like part of a Federation Science Institute or something, or Vulcan Science Academy? Or
I think they
like,
said she's in the
they
Vulcan.
Do
Science
mention Vulcan
Academy
Science Academy,
right?
Right? Which I think is maybe one of the only references to that in TNG. But yeah, but like, do they like how do they collaborate? How do they do things separately from other Federation members? I don't know.
Patrick, did you just
he's
say
dead.
That? Oh no.
Riga's dead.
Surprise!
I liked him.
Now, what were you saying?
Did you say that they're trying to capitalize on making it for themselves? Is that what you're trying to say to me versus working collaboratively as a collective?
Correct.
Is that what you're trying to tell me? Oh, okay. Okay.
Although I don't know why that was such a big deal.
Yeah, isn't it odd he was still holding the phaser that killed him when he fell down? Yeah.
That's weird. Worf is incomplete. He's like, maybe he just grabbed tighter when he got shot.
He does have a few lines here.
But here's the thing. If it works the way that Worf is letting it off, like it's an electric shock, you would absolutely end up with it tight in your hand.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know.
I would. Trust me. When you get electrocuted, you grab things. Well, your muscles close.
I'm just messing with you, dude. I know you're electricity, dude.
I've had it happen. It sucks.
I
was with him right before
he died. He was not suicidal. I can't remember the last time I got electrocuted.
That's a good thing.
Well,
it was in Iraq. That's for sure.
Probably a difference between I get electric shocks every day, but that's different than electrocution, which sounds bad.
Well, technically speaking, electrocution happens if you die. So I guess I never had that happen.
Okay, so you've had that's like a strong electric shock. Thank goodness, not stronger than that.
Electrified.
Tuesday, in fact, but
what? Just this past Tuesday.
This past Tuesday, yeah.
Wow. No autopsy. Now, this is an interesting thing they throw in here that somehow Ferengis have this death ritual. And, you know, I think later in DS9 we find out that they don't necessarily have a ritual. They just vacuum pack their remains and sell them.
It's completely off continuity there. But okay.
Yeah, but I think I saw somebody trying to explain it like, well, maybe they'll do something a little bit different because, you know, he's committed suicide and it's disgraceful or something, or because he wasn't making profit, who knows. But it does seem to conflict. But I guess they have to do that to move things along.
Well, yeah, the story ends in 5 minutes. No, it doesn't. Because she could have just done the autopsy. She finds nothing.
Right, because eventually when she breaks that and does the autopsy, it's like, oops, I found nothing, and they're going to be pissed.
Yeah, the only reason why they have to do this is it's the only reason. Otherwise, the whole point of her talking to Guinan doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they didn't do this and she just did the autopsy, then we could have just watched this as a regular episode.
Yeah. But Ogawa here is just like, yep, I'm with you. Let's find out what's going on. I don't care if we're not supposed to. So
it's a lot of baby powder.
It was a lot of baby powder.
Yeah, were they trying to make it look frozen or something?
Yeah. It is cold storage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's the hand?
But you would think that they would have like a stasis versus freezing them. You know what I mean? So it wouldn't damage the body anyway.
The feeling that I get is like if you're putting someone in the morgue and it's something temporary, maybe it's cold storage, but stasis is for something longer. Or if you want to go ahead.
But even when we found out in Deep Space Nine, some people can be, obviously we're not in Deep Space Nine, but
it's going on at the same time.
Yeah, that is true. Okay, thank you. So, like, you know, when, what's that Vedic that died? Baril. Was it Baril?
Yeah,
Baril. They were saying that he can be in stasis for weeks, months.
Oh, that's
even
true.
Years,
yeah,
so.
Like you can keep someone in stasis for a long time until you find some way to figure out what goes wrong. So here's Beverly talking to the human and Vulcan. But
since it wasn't successful, so this conversation annoys me because she says something about like killing him wouldn't be logical, and it most certainly would be logical.
If your end goal was to take the technology and do something with it, sure.
Right.
Well, she was close to it too, yeah. Or at least that's the narrative when they were talking about it. It's like she was close to getting making this metaphysic shielding. Yeah. And of course it piqued her interest.
Well, Spock says logic is the beginning of wisdom, not the end.
And you know, she would no longer be the preeminent expert in this field if this had happened, which to me is perfectly logical to murder somebody over. I mean, I wouldn't
of course that's the thing. I think we find out various times in Star Trek you can use logic to justify just about anything.
Yep, especially for Vulcan. Is there something you're not telling me? Uh-oh.
No, meaningful look. It's nothing, but I did tell you about this one thing.
I was hiding this for the last 20 minutes.
Wasn't in the subtitles.
it was that Klingon.
Go talk to them. They get mad at everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Reggie came in and they got into and.
I like how in this next scene she's like, Klingons make threats as core, as a matter of course, but yeah. Sometimes they follow through.
Yeah. To shout at one another. I know everyone's acting suspicious.
That Rega had insulted her honor, and no Klingon would stand for that.
Yes, because Klingons are so honorable that they lie through their teeth all the time.
Spoken in the heat of anger.
The warrior class, that is.
Passionate. But not a killer.
Doctor, neither are we.
Yeah. Like, all right.
His
thanks.
Whole demeanor changes when he says, neither are we, by the way.
Yeah. Well, they're deliberately trying to make them seem a little. To try to throw you off to what's really going on.
Was that Jellicoe that went by?
What are you talking about?
Will you stop finding things in this episode that no one else sees?
The guy had gray hair and everything. I thought it was Jellicoe.
Oh, yeah, because every guy with gray hair is Jericho.
Yeah, yeah. Like he's just visiting after coming by for chain of command.
He was stopping for a cup of tea.
He doesn't strike me as someone that drinks tea.
Okay. Who drinks tea? What?
Jellicoe.
Well, yeah, no, but what would? Who strikes you as someone who would drink tea? Not Picard. Not Picard. Like, okay, better question. What qualities does someone have if they're a tea drinker? Are you
accused? I don't know. I just, I don't know. I'm just saying.
Jellicoe more a beer drinker? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
All right. Well, Jellicoe does not appear in this episode. I'm pretty sure of it.
Unless he walked by the corridor there just a moment ago.
We will never know.
I'm just amazed at like how different this character is than like Rachel Garrett, who she played before. It's quite something. All the,
you know, I actually could see that.
Yeah.
Her face.
I could see it, but like the whole demeanor, and I don't think I ever really picked up on it before.
That was a rough shove.
Yeah,
it was a rough shove.
And Beverly, yo, I give her props. She just stood up right back to her, like shove me again.
Oh no!
What? Do that again? I dare you. She doesn't really say that. But her face does. Yeah.
It's pretty great. You have to throw me a lot harder than that if you want to. Good thing you're dealing with a Klingon scientist and not a warrior, or you'd be dead where you stand. What did he accuse you of? She backs away a little bit. It didn't look like it.
Didn't appear that way.
Yeah. It went too fast for that. Yeah. Was that
why it could have been. Either way, Beverly gets up and wants more.
She's pretty fierce in this episode. She's going to find the truth.
Yeah, right? She's ready to rumble.
Yeah.
I did not.
And then this woman just goes back and starts staring at the scans again. Like,
yeah, at first I was like, is she going to order from the replicator?
Tea, Earl Grey, hot. I don't. She doesn't strike me as a tea drinker either.
No, she's getting erect to Gino.
And now she realizes, wow, I almost died.
She's like, oh boy, man, this is dangerous. But let's keep going.
The adrenaline wore off.
Definitely should have stayed on the floor.
And for everything I'd been through, I didn't have.
Was that Jellicoe too? Oh no, that was a woman.
No,
that was Nurse Ogawa.
She's back in her lab, just contemplating.
There is a bunch of just staring off into space in this episode, huh?
There's a lot of thinking going on.
There is.
All right, you're making a decision
with the narrative in the background.
Oh, that's right. This is where she does the autopsy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is where I have made my decision. I'm gonna slice and dice.
Yeah. What is that? Like, it's like a trash, like a half of a trash can or something.
And why is it there? Every time it opens, it pulls back anyway. We could avoid that by just not having it there at all.
I don't know. It's interesting. Oh, so she put him back?
Well, she's already done the autopsy now.
Okay. I don't know why I thought Ogawa was there for the autopsy, but Picard's quarters.
I love that picture that's in the background.
It's pretty great.
Me too.
And I love his desk. I want that desk.
I like his desk too, yeah.
Jean-Luc, I want to tell you something. I did an autopsy. Ooh. But you're not going to like it. Oh, and he has that disappointed. I'm surprised he didn't do a facepalm here.
Yeah.
But he kind of, you know, it is Beverly, and I probably kind of expected it that she would do that with her curiosity at the way it is.
Yeah, that could be. Sorry, I know I shouldn't have done it. But he is pretty stern with her. Most certainly should not.
Yeah, but like everything else in Star Trek, unless you're in Discovery, apparently, you can just defy orders all over the place, and eventually you find the answer, and you're okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Steal ships and all that.
Yeah, who cares? That's a court-martialable offense, but we're not going to bother.
Well, you know, at least in Star Trek IV, they saved the Earth, so that kind of made it okay.
You get a pardon for that.
Yeah.
But they destroyed the Enterprise and brought back a Klingon warbird.
Yeah, they saved Earth. Anyway, that's different. So having a little conversation.
And I'm prepared to accept the consequences.
Prepared to accept the consequences. So he just nods. What are the consequences?
What do you tell somebody at that point? I mean...
All right. Done.
Done is done.
Yeah, yeah. You did it.
And that was almost the hardest part of all. So that's the story. That's how I ended my career.
This is my favorite part of the episode, by the way. What? After all of that, Guinan just looks at her and goes, backhand volley. And she's like, are you kidding me right now? I'm telling you how I'm being thrown out of Starfleet, and you're telling me about a tennis game? She goes, what, you're upset? But you're still sitting here talking to me, right?
Right.
Stop crying and get out there.
You're upset. Why are you moping around here? Why don't you do something about it? I've done
everything. Would fired be the appropriate word?
Yeah, I think she's out of Starfleet. Well, she's supposed to be, right?
But it's more of a military.
Yes. Dishonorably discharged? I don't
know. Yeah, you should be discharged. Or discharged at least. Maybe
relieved of duty, and I like that. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, relieved of duty makes sense. But even if she was discharged, if she was tossed from the military, it would be other than honorable discharge. But
yeah. So, but yeah, Guinan is great at really convincing people to kind of trust their instincts and keep doing what they should be doing. All right, so I'm relieved of duty, but I'll put in my uniform and ask people about stuff.
Yeah, well, if she walks around in uniform, less people who don't know what's going on would pay attention.
Data would know what's going on, but...
Data would, but she's getting around the hallways. She doesn't want to be stared at by all the regulars.
Yeah, that's true.
Isn't that the weirdest thing in his hand, too?
Yeah, what is that?
It's like a toy? It's like a puzzle box.
Expect him to get like his finger stuck in there.
Yeah, or he's trying to get like his dollar bill back. I forget which one I have to push next.
God, I've never noticed some of these things.
See? That's why you have us here.
Well, that's why I'm doing a commentary. Yeah.
Oh, that's definitely carpeting.
It is, isn't it? Dang, it is. I never noticed that. I'm always going to notice the carpeting. That is
correct. It looks like shag carpeting.
No, it's not shag carpeting. It's got to be thin. Look, it doesn't look shaggy.
There's the name of the episode, Shag Shuttle Carpeting.
You really need to get an interior designer in here.
Yeah. Anyway, they're doing all kinds of, you know, discussion and techno babble stuff to see what's going on. I kind of forgot how they figure it out.
Oh, that's right. Lee was the one that freaking was pointing out the carpet on the bottom of the, and all that. And I never realized thinking about the carpet of the Enterprise. Look at that. That is carpet. Well,
this is
right
in, in a shuttle, right? Where it's on the side and the top.
Yeah.
It's the top. But it's definitely carpeting. But so is kind of, you know, your car has felt and stuff up there.
No, that's the same stuff that's on my basement floor.
You bought your stuff from Enterprise?
So I was too busy looking at the carpeting, but I guess she picked up something from Data, right?
Right.
It was Riker.
And she tells him I can't say that in a nice way, tomorrow. But buzz off.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, whatever, I'm leaving tomorrow. You can leave the ship. Yep, of course. Thank you.
I'm telling you this is a friend, and I'm telling you stay away, because I'm getting myself in more trouble.
Yeah. Don't do anything foolish. And Captain Picard will do everything he can. And he like grabs her by the arm. I don't know if I like that. He's like, listen to me.
Well, at least you don't see him like grabbing her shoulders and making her turn like he does with Troy sometimes.
Well, they have does do that, right?
A bit more history, but yeah, that's true. It's going to be that much harder
on you. Thank you, Commander. Your concern is noted.
Beverly. At least it's not violent.
It's not, but it is kind of like a dominating move where it's like, hey, I'm going to move your arm over here so you can talk to me and listen to me.
Yeah, it's bad. It's not, I don't know if it's bad. It's not the best, but he would be her superior if she still had a job.
That's true, but...
Yeah. And he's trying to get in close to tell her, you know, again, not make it obvious to all the lower deck crew what's really going on.
Okay, here's the part I was thinking about before where Ogawa helps her out. Because
oh, yeah, she's like all about getting the autopsy aisles.
Yeah.
The autopsy files, sorry.
Aisles of autopsies,
Aisles of autopsies. I was close. I just left out the part.
Yeah, and I guess even though she's a nurse and an ensign, she has the access to the autopsy files.
That would it's autopsy files. It would make sense.
Yeah, I guess so because she works.
And not to mention, she's the only one in there right now.
Apparently, so. All of her other staff is there at other times, like Dr. Salar. Why can we see Dr. Salar in this episode?
And where's Nurse Marquez?
you're gonna be asking that all episode, there, Rich.
I know he's not in this one.
Look at those buttons in the back. That look more like a 1970s panel. Let's do it.
All right, so going back to look at the body. Now there's
rule
that tool
thumb,
again.
If something moves, there's a blue light on it.
There's a can opener.
Yeah.
It's got an LED panel on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very weird.
We need to run a tissue scanner. I don't know. They may have picked it up at a store somewhere because sometimes for some of the props and things, they would just like repurpose stuff they found at stores.
You know, that actually looks like a GoPro session.
So they went to the future. They got a GoPro. They took it
back
and modified it.
To make a show about the future. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, that does look like a GoPro.
Tetrions. Always Tetrions.
Someone did sabotage the shield.
That's a possibility.
Then she's trying to walk her back. She's like, it's very circumstantial evidence. Just
she's like,
don't run with
on.
That. I don't know why I helped you. Just don't run with that.
Nope, there's Jay in the background. Yep.
Hey, look, Troy.
Oh, Troy's here. There we go.
Hey, in uniform.
My favorite
too.
Troy in the regular uniform.
Yeah, she missed all of the important parts.
She's like,
she
what? Did something happen? Was there a flashback?
Sorry, I was sleeping.
Did they? Is that her real hair, or do they put like extensions in her hair? Because that doesn't look natural, does it?
I don't know. I honestly don't think about people's hair. I know people talk a lot about hair on Star Trek, but I never think about it.
Yeah, I don't really either. But so it is 93, so the 80s fashion is already gone. So I don't know what's going on with that hair.
Unscheduled launch. I mean, apparently she's, you know, been relieved of duty, but she can still access a shuttle. Okay.
Just not files from sickbay.
Yeah. They got to work on their security. There's all kinds of unscheduled launches and
constantly. Like these are the most easy. It's
easy
really
to
easy to
systems,
hotwire.
Yeah.
It's easy to hotwire a shuttle pod in the future.
It's not a car.
You would think it's off, and you wouldn't have the codes to turn it on. I mean, if I get fired from my job, they take my pass away before I leave the building.
Or they take it before they even tell you you're fired.
That's another good one, yeah. Mm-hmm. On Friday afternoon.
Yeah. So they're calmly trying to figure out what happens as she heads to her death toward a sun. But that imagery is really cool.
It is cool.
Now she's all fuzzy.
Yep, that means there's interference. When it looks like a TV set from the 70s with interference on it. Just adjust those rabbit ears.
Yep. tilt the Enterprise 10 degrees. Tilt the whole Enterprise. Get that second missile a little higher. I think Dr. Rega
was right about his shield. She's really confident. She's just going to bet her life on this when it's like 2 million degrees outside of her shuttle. Dang.
Yeah, that's a little excessive, right? I'm absolutely positive. You get in the shuttle pod and go.
She feels really strongly that proving this technology will help against the Borg in a few episodes in Descent. That's what it is.
No. Oh, that doesn't happen in this scene? Oh, darn. Beverly, what's
happening? I look very concerned. Hey, it works. I'm not gasping.
At least they're more concerned now than when the guy actually died, or they thought he actually died.
Mm-hmm. Hey, spoilers.
Well, they've known her longer. She's a main character. Of course,
you called a spoiler
more.
Now. We've been saying it all episode.
I'm talking about
sorry,
Jabril.
Listeners. We're assuming you've already seen this episode.
Yeah,
and know
no, we mentioned
that
he
dead.
Died. Like, when he didn't.
I know.
No, he's not dead yet. We have lost
contact. That is
no,
true.
No, he's dead right now.
He does die in this episode.
Yeah, he does. There's the compartment.
Does it ever bother anyone that in these shows the compartment's always open with nobody's hand anywhere near them?
It's like a garage door opener. It's just really... the opener's inside the box or something.
The shuttle garage door opener?
Yeah. So here's this Takaran guy who can apparently fake being dead.
Yes.
Which is interesting.
These
Takarans are actually really interesting because, yeah, they can slow down their physiology, and as we'll see here, they can take like a giant phaser hit with a hole in them and still...
Well, see, now I took that... I wanted to talk about that because I took that as he gets a big hole in his stomach, right, in a moment? Yeah. But it seems like she had it like set to stun when she shot him. That burns a hole through him that doesn't kill him, but then she sets it to kill and he vaporizes. Like, it seems like very low power, big hurt. Very high power,
very sensitive physiology.
Yeah, very weird.
I don't know if it's set to stun. Maybe it's set to something.
It could be
between, like stun in the highest setting.
It could be because he's going to shoot her. It's likely he would kill her, right?
It's set to buckshot.
And he doesn't. And I wonder about these levels because there's like kill and there's like vaporize, which is like level 16 or something.
Well, she probably goes to 16, right?
I'm guessing.
On the second shot.
It's buckshot, dude. Otherwise, he'd be gone all the way through. If there's a hole inside of him, it would have to be a buckshot.
It's a through and throw.
That's what I'm saying. Versus vaporize, where it destroys him.
No, but that does happen right afterwards.
All right, so she got the drop on him, and the shuttle's careening into the sun.
Yes. And then they're rolling around.
They're fighting.
I wonder if you can land on that on the sun with the
metaphasic shielding.
I don't think so.
I doubt it.
Probably. Although the entry. Oh, ooh,
what?
Oh,
nice kick.
Yeah! Roundhouse
a spinning
kick.
Roundhouse heel kick.
And then she hits him.
Right, look, big hole in stomach.
There's a hole in him.
Through clothes and everything.
That's
crazy.
Right, but now,
shot, dude.
But now, okay, wait.
I'm really pissed off now.
Wait.
She turns it up and then
vaporize.
Yeah.
That's got to be like level 14 or something like that.
But that, I mean, I'm trying to think, like, is that the first time you see Beverly kill someone as opposed to just stunning them?
I don't know, but she's pretty,
Wait, are you talking about purposely or in her sickbay?
No, purposely, like shooting at them.
She's Richard, purposely. She doesn't kill that many people in sickbay. And it's not like she's killing people. She gets some really tough cases, okay?
Yeah, wait a second, hold on.
They're practically dead when they come to her.
They don't show up with a paper cut and leave in a body bag. She's not doing odd experiments to people.
It's not her fault that she's in the six seasons with the toughest cases. All right, so they figured out what was going on, and the metaphasic shielding is cool. She's been reinstated.
And everyone just believes her story when she gets back with no body as evidence.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, surely they have a security camera in the shuttle that can show them what happened, right? Right?
No, because then we would have seen he wasn't really dying, right?
Which is true.
Well, no, but no, in the shuttle before, he was gasping and he fell down after he set the controls. I don't think...
So what is the point of changing the angle of a racket?
Because it had to be the future.
I don't know. Tennis rackets are sensitive. But like it
and then look, it has four
racket.
Little rubber things that make all the vibration go away.
Yeah.
And no strings. So that's racquetball, not tennis. By the way.
I'll take your word for it.
Tennis ball. Cool.
Take my word. Wait, you don't know that racquetball is played with... Oh, paddle ball instead of rackets.
No, I've never played either one.
You had to have seen it on a movie or something.
All right.
Maybe, but I don't pay attention to that.
That was the episode. So, of course, we had a lot of fun with it again.
Yeah, we did.
But what do you guys think after watching it in this commentary? Patrick?
Oh, I love this episode. I like anything that revolves around Beverly Crusher, hence the naming of my daughter. But also, she really shows herself to be tough. She stands up to a Klingon. She roundhouse kicks Jabril, you know, and then blows a hole through him and vaporizes him without even hesitating. So, and she has a lot of tenacity to go after this as long as she did and not give up on something she really believed in. So I really like it. I really enjoy the episode, and I like the way they portray her through this episode.
Awesome. So question on that. Favorite Beverly episode? This one? A different one?
It's probably this one.
Nice. Yeah. Are you kidding? It's not Sub Rosa? I mean, really, there aren't too many Beverly-centered episodes. There's Sub Rosa, there's Suspicions, there's the host. Attached, I guess, but that's more her and Picard. But she doesn't really get that many where it's she's the real focus. So
no, that's really it. I mean, I would count Attached, even though Picard's there too, because it's they're like co-centers.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts, Richard?
I love how excited we all got when she roundhouse kicked it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I actually like this episode. Before we even thought to have Patrick onto this episode, I actually watched it, and I really like this episode. I really do. So it's probably she's a crusher. Come on,
you can't hate the whole family. Do you hate Jack Crusher, too? Come on.
I don't hate Jack Crusher. Okay. I don't have anything to go against him.
Well, he was half of the creation of Wesley.
Yeah. Good point. Thank you, Patrick. So, yes, I hate him, too.
No, you don't hate Jack and Beverly. You hate the combination of the two together.
So now you can Beverly again because Jack's gone. And that's all Picard's fault.
I half like them. How about that?
Yeah. All right.
Anyway,
but I really like this episode. I actually like doing these commentaries because you see a lot more, and it's like you know the episode, and it's just talking about it. It's like, oh yeah, you know, we would have probably never thought about the carpeting. Carpet up on the ceiling, or Jellicoe going by, or the Cardassian freaking pad on the desk. So yeah, I kind of like doing these commentaries.
Awesome. So of course they're. Like, why is the Klingon and the Vulcan and the human seem so suspicious? And then you don't see them after that. Like, what was their deal? Do they really just want to take the technology?
I think
probably.
So.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay.
Interesting.
I think while they didn't actually have a hand in killing him, I think they were happy. You know, but now they thought of it as, okay, now it's my chance.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone. Yeah. I can use it.
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always enjoyed Suspicions as well. I think it's a really great Beverly episode. When you get past, it's weird that she's having a scientific conference that doesn't have to do with medicine. I mean, it's really strong for her. She gets to really pursue something that she believes in and get to the bottom of a mystery and really be the hero. She's the hero of this episode, really. So it's very cool. And I'm glad you suggested it, Patrick.
So, Patrick, where can people find you on the internet?
All right. So they can find me on the network at Warp 5 and on the Edge. Warp 5, I'm with Brandy and Brandon. And the Edge, I'm with Amy, who you can also find here, obviously. You can also find me on Twitter at MagicDrop5. It's one word, but the 5 is a number. And you can find me hanging around the Babel conference from time to time.
Excellent. Yeah. Thanks so much for coming on to Earl Grey again. We always enjoy having you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I love coming on, and I love doing commentaries with you two, so that worked out well.
Awesome. But
one of these days, we'll have Amy with us, too.
Yeah, we should try that. I mean, she hasn't done any commentaries with us. If it was the four of us, no. What would that be like?
That would be fun. I think that would be fun.
It'd have to be a Troy episode.
Ooh. Let's do Ensign Row. All right, wait, what's that
no,
one?
No,
that
no,
she,
no. Well, we'll have to. No. You don't want to do the one with Rowan Riker. Come on, Richard. We'll think about it. Maybe we'll come up with something for that. Have to think about it.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be Troy centralized. So we'll see.
Awesome.
Well, it's been so much fun providing a commentary for the episode Suspicions, but that isn't the only thing we've been talking about here on the network. Here's what you might have missed elsewhere on Trek FM.
Previously on Trek.fm. To the journey!
Do you have to have the stick to be the grand proxy?
The scepter?
Yeah. I see it as a walking stick. Yes.
Is that supposed to be the Grand Negus's scepter? Like, is that the actual one?
Or, oh my
it's a
gosh.
Replica, of course, but is it supposed to be the actual one?
I don't know, but what it reminds me of totally is old Biff from Back to the Future, old Biff, yes. With his cane that he hits people on the head with. That is totally it.
Hello! McFly!
Think, McFly.
Standard orbit.
People are coming over and they're introducing people to him, and it's my turn. And he goes, Steve, Jimmy, I want you to meet the host of the convention. This is Stephen Lance. And I go, pleased to meet you, sir. Nice to meet you, Mr. Dewan. And he goes, hi, Steve. Nice to meet you. And he's like, what? What? You mean you don't talk like that?
The 602 Club.
In particular, I noticed that the most with either Elastigirl or Violet because it's sort of like you and I were talking about before the show, Helen, Elastigirl, really shows that she's Elastigirl not only in what she does as a superhero, but in showing the things that a regular mom has to deal with, you know, whether you're a single mom or, you know, a big family. It's something that traditionally they're trying to show that a parent goes through.
Warp 5.
Right, because Frankenstein himself, like, it doesn't really mistreat the monster, right? They've got him locked up, chained up and whatnot, right? Because they don't know what to do with him, I guess. Like, now that I've made this corpse, well, now what, right? Like yeah. You know, it's not like a puppy.
Never
right?
thinking like, about the end game. Just like all those, you know, master villains. It's like, yeah, you rule the world and then what?
Right.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published. And please leave us a star rating and written review. That helps others to find the show.
If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, in most third-party apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it should come right up.
If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at Trek.fm. or trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and select Earl Grey. That will come straight to us, and we might read your email on the show. You can also find the network on Twitter at Trek.fm and on Facebook at facebook.com/trek.fm. So, Justin, where can people contact you when you're not cosplaying as a Ferengi scientist?
Well, you know, I have to think about that. He has some muted tones. I may want some way to indicate I'm a Ferengi scientist with the more colorful Ferengi clothing, maybe.
You got to sharpen those teeth first.
And make them crooked. Yeah, they must have some like little implement they put in their mouth. It's weird. But yeah, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at TrekFan4747, where I tweet about nothing but Star Trek. Currently tweeting out my Season 5 rewatch of The Next Generation. And you can find me hanging around the Babel Conference on Facebook. So, Richard, where can people contact you when you're not creating metaphasic shielding over 300 years ahead of schedule?
300 years ahead of schedule?
Yeah, the next generation says it's going to happen in 2368, something like that.
I don't know. There's a lot of stars I want to visit. Well, you guys can find me on Facebook. I pop in here and there on the Babel Conference talking smack about Wesley Crusher, as you already heard. But I'm also on Twitter. My handle is XRansom.
Is it just your mission to knock Wesley down every episode? Just got to know.
Do not see my shirt. Do
I
not
know,
see my
you shirt. Shut up, Wesley shirt. All right. Well, if you'd like to help us keep all our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more, available through our special patrons website, The Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
We'd like to take this opportunity to recognize our current associate producers, Norman Lau, Justin Ozer, Michael Huter, and Thomas Appel. Thank you for supporting Trek FM and always, as always, Earl Grey. So join us next time for another cup of Earl Grey.
I don't play tennis.
Today is a good day to die!